Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn, ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn, tell people to stay off the lawn, compare it to your neighbor's lawn, and complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance, which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Old moon, yeah. That's Hugo tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-o! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Greetings from Tromaville. This is Lloyd Kaufman, president of Troma Entertainment and creator of The Toxic Avenger. You know, folks, when we're not making those great movies like Tromeo and Juliet and Poultrygeist, Night of the Chicken Dead, the Troma team likes to kick back and listen to This Week in Geek, because This Week in Geek is really the most creative, informative, and downright hilarious entertainment that the Troma team has ever heard. It is even funnier than George Bush.
Hey guys, what's going on? You're listening to the Nerd News Network. I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dunn. Today is Tuesday, August 16th, 2016, and this show would have actually aired yesterday had something not entirely unpleasant and something embarrassing had not exploded all over myself. What that substance is, I'm going to let you...
And now, an ad from Dad.
All right, save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good. Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
Your imaginations percolate about that, because that's a secret I'm taking to my grave. Ugh. I don't know. Someone said to me on, I think it was Twitter or Facebook, he's like, there's no use crying over spilled milk. And that's true. But when you have something like this explode all over you, it's sort of like that line in Ghostbusters 2, where I think it's Yano says, why am I dripping with goo? That was my moment. And just, ugh. Yeah, one of those days. But hey, I'm here. I'm glad to be back here talking with you, the wonderful fans of This Week in Geek, as you join me for yet another weekly installment of the Nerd News Network. And well, we got a lot of stuff to cover this week. We got a couple of news stories from the past week. Obviously, the big one we're going to talk about what happened with Star Wars actor Kenny Baker and him passing away. So we'll share some memories about that. I'm also going to give you some thoughts into my review in progress for No Man's Sky, which will appear next week. I just kind of want to wrap on that for just a couple of minutes here, because it seems to be one of those games where on my Facebook, you either love it or you hate it. And I'm not quite falling myself into the hate category, but I'm not loving it either. And I think that's what hurts me the most, is the fact that I had this vision of this game, and I wanted it to be something so much more than what I got, that it kind of bummed me out. So I guess let's just kind of jump right into that. So let's talk about my review in progress for No Man's Sky. So this game, currently, I'm about 5 hours in, and I keep getting procedurally screwed over, because the game starts you off on a random world, and you have to obviously mine resources to get off of it so you can build your thrusters, build your warp cells, basically build stuff for your ship. Not unlike Minecraft Lite in that regard, but without the creativity. And so I keep finding like I'm short of plutonium, or I'm short of this element, or I'm short of this element. And unless the game likes you, it's really easy to get hosed. I've been dropped on planets where I have immediately hostile sentinels. I've had just things just immediately go wrong for me. And I guess the problem is, and this is something that someone else has identified with it, is the game is maybe a victim of its own hype. Now, when this game came out, when this game was shown off a couple of years ago, I think what I expected from it was I wanted something kind of Star Trek-y science. And you might be wondering, well, what the hell do you mean by that? I mean, do you not like exploring strange new worlds and blah, blah, blah? And I'm thinking, yeah, that's true, but I wanted more science from it. Like, I want to know more. And I guess I was kind of hoping the game would keep up with the actual science of exoplanets, stuff like that. And yeah, you do see some really weird stuff. You do see some really weird life forms. You do see some unusual geography, but I guess I wanted more of a learning simulator in that regard. And the game has been described, it's an exploration sim. The thing is, the proof of concept here is really cool. If you could build upon this somehow, I'm not saying you have to make it multiplayer, but as a gamer, I'm bored. I'm bored to tears because there's like 3 or 4 hours worth of content here, and then you just repeat to upgrade your suit, upgrade your mining laser slash weapon, upgrade your ship, and eventually as you work towards the end game where you follow Atlas's footsteps, there's a big thing, and that's all I'm really going to say about that. And you do meet some couple of different alien races. I guess the thing is, on some way, I felt like Mass Effect did the exploration better. And what I mean by that is, just the worlds themselves felt more fleshed out from, I guess, a science perspective. Like, I remember the first time I found the planet for the Leviathan of Dis, which ties into the Leviathan DLC, or reading about planets that were hit by Mass Effect rounds, stuff like that, or how this certain algae, there's so much of it in the planet's ice, you can see it from space, stuff like that. Whereas in No Man's Sky, yeah, I can wander underground and I can see these plants that'll help develop warmth for my suit, or that might make me feel healthier, stuff like that. And I get that, but I don't know. There's just something about this game that isn't grabbing me. I want to love it. That's the thing, though. I want this company, Hello Games, to keep trying something new with this. And I think the director, I think the guy's name is Sean Murray, had said something along the lines of, he wants to do the Minecraft model. Start out with something really simple and just keep building upon that. And I think if this game had come out at $20 and had kept that mindset throughout its development, I think you might have got something really, really, really special. It wasn't necessarily a victim of its own hype. But to ask you to pay $60 for this thing right now, it's hard. So like I said, I'm going to dive into this for about another 10 hours. I'll see what I get out of it. But I'll tell you, ladies and gentlemen, I am, let's just say if you're intending to take the sky from me, I'm probably not going to fight you too hard if you happen to take it from me. So anyway, that's my review in progress for No Man's Sky on the PlayStation 4. Okay, let's keep rocking and rolling here. Let's talk about, obviously, some very sad news this past weekend. Star Wars actor Kenny Baker, who you people all know as the actor inside the costume for R2-D2, passed away this weekend after battling a long illness. He passed away at the age of 81. This guy first became famous back in 1977 for playing R2. He's obviously done stuff for every single Star Wars movie. He did like all the prequels. He also did like Time Bandits and Flash Gordon. He also did the convention circuit. This guy was everywhere. He was R2-D2, and he was thrilled to do it, right? So hearing that he's passed away, I mean, like, we've lost a number of Star Wars people, obviously, over the years, you know, just old age, disease. I don't think we've lost anybody to accident, at least I don't think so. But yeah, I mean, when Peter Cushing passed away, when Al Guinness passed away, I think most of Rogue Squadron's passed away, I want to say. Yeah, like, just a lot of the original actors and actresses are just, they're just, obviously, it's the passage of time. People are moving on. And if you don't get a chance to go out to your local Comic-Cons and see these people in the next couple of years, you may be, unfortunately, shit out of luck. Time may just have just passed you by, and the time to see these people may have just been gone. I myself have not been fortunate enough to meet Kenny Baker. The only people I've ever met from Star Wars is I met David Prowse, who was unfortunately not a very nice guy at the time, but I think he was just in a lot of pain. I met Peter Mayhew, the guy that plays Chewbacca, but once again, a lot of pain, couldn't do anything for me. Although I did have a chance to spend like 20 minutes with Daniel Logan, who was young Boba Fett, and I got to hang out with Tamura Morrison for 10 minutes. This was back in 2008, 2007, when I was covering Fan Expo in Toronto. But I always thought that was really cool, the fact that I could go out and actually kind of do that. So I liked it anyway. But it's just kind of weird to think we now live in a world without R2. Because, yeah, he's a guy in what's essentially a garbage can. And obviously the wonders of special effects helped bring him to life. But there was something about that guy being inside that costume that brought R2 that sense of personality, that sense of this droid is alive. And I've been involved with some people who R2-D2 was their favorite character. And I don't know how that affects them now, because I'm not friends with these people any longer. But I would be curious to know how it would affect them now, to say, hey, R2's gone, so to speak. So may you rest in peace, Mr. Baker. I'm sure we found the droids we're looking for, and I know you'll be keeping it warm for us when we eventually meet you in the great beyond. So good luck, my friend. We will see you again someday. So let's try and move on to something. I'm trying to figure out where do I want to go with this. I want to go to something a little happier, but I want to not go with something extremely goofy, science, or weird. You know what? Let's go with weird. So today is the beginning of Gamescom in Germany, sort of like pseudo E3, but a lot of like developers come out and show some more stuff off. And typically Call of Duty does big show-offs for a lot of its big kind of YouTubers and the community as well. So today they showed off Call of Duty Infinite Warfare Zombies, and I think it's called Zombies in Spaceland. Now, this year's Zombies, I have played 10 rounds of it, do not give a single fuck. Not one. Didn't care for it at all, despite the fact that I made a big deal of getting the Juggernog fridge. I liked Exo Zombies more because I thought the storyline was cooler. But this year, it's all 1980s, and it stars David Hasselhoff. It's ridiculous. So this year stars David Hasselhoff, Paul Rubens, a.k.a. Pee-wee Herman, Seth Green, Ike Barinholtz, Jay Farrow, and Sashir Zamata. And it's basically Zombies in Spaceland is a space-themed amusement park set in the 1980s. So the idea is, four aspiring actors have come across a mysterious movie theater for an audition. They've been invited by director Willard Wyler, portrayed by voice and likeness Paul Rubin. What they don't know is they will be transformed into characters and transported into Wyler's film to fight against waves of zombies. You will play against one of the four 80s archetypes: the jock, the nerd, the valley girl, and the rapper. And I'll include the teaser trailer here for you, because it looks ridiculous. And it looks just the right amount of goofy fun that I think I'm actually going to give a crap again. And I find zombies, it's one of those modes where you have to find the, if you can play with a group of people that you know, it's tremendously fun. Playing with randoms online, I don't have as much fun, especially because zombies almost always has those insanely detailed Easter eggs, and trying to get them to, like, go off at any given time with randoms just doesn't happen unless you can do it by yourself or unless your team happens to be going for that. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to that, though. I mean, I think this is going to be pretty cool. So I've already got my copy pre-ordered. I'm going to be playing on Xbox One and PlayStation 4 just because I want the full experience, and hopefully I can play with people this year. Because I actually have COD Black Ops 3 on both systems, but I've only played with COD a few times with people on PlayStation 4. Xbox One, I never get a chance to play with anybody because none of my friends play, yet I've joined one of those clans, and every time I do, I just keep declining. And I don't know if that's somebody trolling me because I'm having a terrible game or whatever, but that's just me kind of rambling there. But either way, looking forward to this. David Hasselhoff should be fun. I hope they find a way to work in that song True Survivor from Kung Fury, just because I think that would be amazing. Okay, so moving on to something kind of serious. Global warming. Some people say it's not a thing. I think it's a thing. But according to this, global warming may be affecting the Olympics, actually. So Olympic organizers have made climate change a central theme at the current games, and for good reason. So I'm going to read part of the story verbatim just so you can get an idea of the scope of this. So a sobering new study shows that by 2084, the Olympics, rising temperatures will make it practically impossible for most cities to host the Summer Games. In a new commentary published by The Lancet, a team led by Berkeley researchers Kirk Smith and John Balmes warn that the future of the Summer Games of the Summer Olympics is in jeopardy. 70 years from now, only eight Northern Hemisphere cities outside of Europe will be cool enough to host the Games, with only three cities in North America capable of serving as hosts. The researchers arrived at this conclusion by developing a measurement called the wet bulb global temperature that combines temperature, humidity, heat radiation, and wind. This tool was used in conjunction with two climate models to assess the viability of host future cities. Further the analysis, only cities with at least 600,000 residents were considered, which is the minimum size required to host the games. Cities with elevations over a mile above sea level, such as Mexico City, were omitted due to other limiting factors such as their thin, oxygen-poor air. That, and it's like death there. The researchers also assume that any venue with more than a 10% chance of having to cancel a marathon, a signature event, on short notice would also preclude that city as an Olympic candidate. The researchers go on to explain, Kirk Smith says, if you're going to be spending billions of dollars to host an event, you're going to want to have a level of certainty that you're not going to have to cancel it at the last minute. Using this criteria, researchers were able to identify that only eight of the 543 cities outside of Western Europe would qualify as low-risk sites, including St. Petersburg in Russia, Riga in Latvia, Bishkek in Kyrgyzstan. I can't even begin to pronounce this city. Ulaanbaatar in Mongolia? Shockingly, only three North American cities made the cut, namely San Francisco, Vancouver, and Calgary. Western Europe provided the greatest number of low-risk cities at 25. Latin America and Africa failed to produce a single viable city. Looking further into the 22nd century, researchers predict that only four Northern Hemisphere cities would be capable of qualifying, namely Belfast, Dublin, Edinburgh, and Glasgow. That'd be kind of cool, actually, to have an Olympics in Dublin, actually. That would totally be kind of badass. But anyway, that's kind of scary. Because you think about just how much of the stuff we're pumping into the atmosphere, how the sun is getting hotter year by year, and just other climate factors that are constantly changing all the time. And just that you never think about climate change affecting little things like this. You always hear about, carbon emissions, that and this, that, and the other thing. But you never think about it affecting a world event like this. So that's kind of scary, I think, anyway. So moving on to my last story. This one I just kind of picked up because I thought it was interesting. If you happen to see The Conjuring 2 this past summer in theaters, which I highly recommend you do. So I'm going to read this report because it's fairly short. Then I'll offer my kind of commentary on it. So police officers in Scotland have called in representatives from the Catholic Church after investigating reports of disturbing incidents of a poltergeist at a family home. A mother and her teenage son were said to be in extreme distress after experiencing what the Daily Record describes as violent and unexplained circumstances. The family, who live in southern Lancashire, called police on Monday and Tuesday. The officers attended expecting it to be a mental health issue, but they witnessed the lights going on and off, clothes flying across the room, and the dogs, the family's pet chihuahua, sitting on top of a hedge, a police source said. The officers called their superiors, who attended, thinking the cops were perhaps being a bit silly, but it's being taken very seriously. A priest is understood to have blessed the house in Rutherglen after officers got in touch with the Catholic Church. The mother and son have left their home and are now staying with relatives. One problem we've got is where we go from here, as no crime has been established. So what else can we do but deal with any reports of disturbances, the police source said. But officers with more than 20 years of service are saying they've never seen anything like this. It really is something down-to-earth police officers are having trouble getting their heads around. How do you handle what, despite us not liking to use the word, has been described as a poltergeist? Is it some form of hoax? Is it real? Is it not real? These are the questions being asked by officers, but without coming to any conclusion. A Police Scotland Scotland spokesperson told The Telegraph, on the August 8th to 9th, police attended at an address in Rutherglen, responding to reports of a disturbance. No criminality was established. Advice and guidance was given. Well, that kind of provokes an interesting question. If something was going on, who do you call? And I know that's the obvious Ghostbusters joke. But no, seriously, if something was happening in your home, who would you call? The first person you're going to assume is, you know, the cops. And I'm not above saying that's not a terrible idea either. Because when you call the police, you automatically assume you get credibility. If the police witness something, they're assumed, well, they're the law. Their word carries weight. And if they happen to see, I don't know, Max the family dog floating across the ceiling, that's going to be something you can't just ignore. That's the kind of shit you ain't just going to write off. So, yeah, that's fascinating stuff. Actually, to kind of share something a little bit personal with you guys, just to kind of wrap this story kind of around here. As you guys know, like I said, my mom passed away a couple of months ago, and I had a dream about it recently. And my old house supposedly sits empty right now, and I kind of got to thinking, I wonder if I should just bring my gear up and go investigate it. I would be very curious to see if I would pick up anything. And no sooner did I have that thought did I go to sleep that night and have one of the most vivid dreams, basically telling me, you don't go goddamn near that place with your gear. It's sort of, I guess, if my mom was to come back from the grave and just go, don't do it, that would be it. Like scariest dream I've had in like a number of years. But yeah, just kind of one of those situations, like, what do you do when confronted with the unknown? Of course, everybody wants to be brave and assume they're going to be Mr. Fox Mulder or Mr. Dr. Peter Venkman. No, I really think for at least for the first few seconds, the word panic and scream is going to come into your vocabulary. Not everyone is necessarily unflappable in the face of the paranormal. And I myself am not exactly above that either. I mean, I've been startled by stuff before. So I'm not saying I'm going to be above it either. But still, fascinating to think about. So anyway, guys, like I said, I'll have my full review for No Man's Sky next week. Whether it'll be a full rad or just kind of an add-on to one of these, it may just be more of a talking points rad. I actually may bring on Ryan or someone to talk about it with me. Just because it's one of those... It's going to be one of those divisive games that it's important for what it's going to do, but itself may be one of those things you either love it or hate it. So, I don't know. But anyway, guys, until next time, I've been Mike the Birdman Dodd saying, live for your die hard. And I'll catch you guys again next time, right here on ThisWeekInGeek.net.
Want to see me make bubbles with my spit?
Sure do. In fact, that's the theme of our next show. So don't make it.
What the hell happened to George Lucas?
Oh my God, there's snot on my face.
And I'm your host, Mike the Birdman Dub. And I'm not a join. What the f*** does that mean? F*** that. 10 seconds.
No, you gotta keep that.
Let's do this. Let's do this right the first time.
You guys. Ew, it's in my mouth. Oh, God.
Oh, what's it taste like, Mike?
Water. Ew, salty.
Let's start this episode with shat.
Okay, I'm good. Geico.
Holy shit. Oh, my gosh. Freak. Die. Holy crap. Whoa. Where did it go?
I'm like a stupid monkey.
As you can imagine, they don't let us out much.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Tune in next week to hear, somebody random. I don't know. Maybe even a hot chick. Yeah, let's go with that.
Did anyone ever tell you that you were very, very sexy?
How are you? Actually, no.
They never will.
Check out our website, thisweekingeek.net, for more geek content, as well subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Send us a Twitter message by replying to @ThisWeekInGeek. Lastly, you can email us at feedback@ThisWeekInGeek.net. This extra music was produced by Prono Bozo at PRONOBOZO.com. We'll see you next time, and remember...
Lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, this is pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Let's say you just bought a house. Bad news is, you're one step closer to becoming your parents. You'll proudly mow the lawn. Ask if anybody noticed you mowed the lawn. Tell people to stay off the lawn. Compare it to your neighbor's lawn. And complain about having to mow the lawn again. Good news is, it's easy to bundle home and auto through Progressive and save on your car insurance. Which, of course, will go right into the lawn. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discount not available in all states or situations.